extracts, I suppose you would say, from three places. So kind of three readings in one, but just a few verses, and then a few more verses, and a few more verses. But as I say, I want to speak about being satisfied, and you'll see where these passages bring that theme out. First is Isaiah 55, verses 1 and 2. Come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. You who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. And then from Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And then from John chapter 6, and these words are spoken after the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, or truly, truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. May the Lord bless his word to us. It's a little different to put it that way. Passages alongside each other. But may God speak to us through each one and bring it all together as a glorious, glorious whole. I want to talk about satisfaction, as I said this morning. And I want to begin by thinking about the search for satisfaction in our world. You know, everybody wants your opinion. Have you realised this? Surveys are being done constantly. We're constantly being fed. You know, this percentage of people say this. This percentage of people do this. You know, it's a big, big industry. People wanting to know. If you are computer literate, you will know if you order something online, straight away comes an email or you know, saying, were you satisfied? Were you satisfied with the service you received? Questionnaires and surveys are everywhere. We're drowning in them. Now, it's nice for people to be affirmed in their work. If you say, yes, you did a great job, thank you. And it's nice for them to know if they didn't. You know, you didn't do a very good job. This needs to improve. We all need to learn. But sometimes I think, and I don't know whether you'd agree with me in this, that it's actually, you know, the survey is actually for those who are doing the surveying. It's kind of, it gives them employment and justification for all the questions that they've been asking. Now, one of the ways surveys are conducted is with five faces. Have you done one of those? A five-face survey? You can be very dissatisfied, and sometimes it's a red face if you're very dissatisfied. And then you can be dissatisfied, and then you can just be neutral. You know, what the heck, don't really care. Then you can be satisfied, and then you can be very satisfied with a green smiley face. So it's colour-coded. You know, it's pictorial. It's as simple as anything. Just click on the face. That's what you do. Now, in the crowd of 5,000, when Jesus had fed them with the bread and the fish out there on the mountainside, if you'd have done a survey, I'm sure you would have got green smiley faces, because it tells us that they'd had as much as they wanted. They were satisfied. You know, they've been on a journey, a long journey, following Jesus out into these areas, and to have some food and to have their fill. they were satisfied. A clean sweep of smiley green faces. But of course, that incident had not begun so positively. Jesus, seeing the crowd, wanted to help them in their need. But where to find enough bread to meet such a need? And you remember it was to Philip, first of all, the question was asked. And he saw the problem. Limited funds. Anybody know that sort of a problem? Limited funds. So it would be nice to do this, it would be nice to do that, but 8 months' wages wouldn't be enough to feed all these people. And then there was Andrew. He saw the problem of limited supply to meet such a demand. Here's a boy with his lunchbox, but what, 5 loaves, 2 fish? That's not going to go very far. So on that scale of satisfied to greatly satisfied to not satisfied, greatly dissatisfied, what are you going to get on there? Well, 2 red faces from Philip and Andrew. Scowling faces at the circumstance and the situation. And life is like that without Jesus' intervention. Life is like that. Where can you find satisfaction in the world? Somebody ultimately will let you down. Something will ultimately wear out. Nothing lasts forever. Where is the satisfaction to be found? It is only found in Jesus. And in that story of the feeding of the 5,000, Philip, no, he has no answer. Andrew, not really. But Jesus is the answer. With his intervention, what a difference is made. Can't believe it's 60 years since the Rolling Stones began. Mick Jagger sang, "I Can't Get No Satisfaction." 60 years, and they're still doing it. How is that possible? Well, you can say what you like about the band and their music, but surely the message must resonate in people's hearts. I can't get no satisfaction. 60 years ago it was true. It's still true today. The echo of the hearts of mankind. So the search for satisfaction is on. And people dream up new ways and new schemes and new things to, you know, usually ends up sadly coming to an untimely end as people pursue these things. To find satisfaction. Or perhaps it's just unrealistic to find satisfaction. So pull everything back, pull the boundaries back a little bit, make life a little bit smaller. Have no expectation. Then you won't get disappointed. Is that the way to do it? No. There is satisfaction to be found in Jesus. When he takes and he makes, oh, what a difference. So we move from the search for satisfaction to the source of satisfaction. And I read to you from Isaiah 55, "Why spend money on what is not bread, on your labor on what does not satisfy?" It's a matter of making changes, says Isaiah. Or the Lord through Isaiah. What should we do? Well, it goes on to say, the Lord said, listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear, come to me, hear me, that your soul may live. So this morning, folks, you've chosen well. Okay, you've chosen well. You are here to hear God's word, and God's word is that which satisfies our souls, if that's what we're looking to do and looking for. Only God can satisfy. He made us. He made you. He knows us. He knows you. And he knows what satisfies our soul's longing. Those words from Isaiah, as I say, it was the Lord speaking through the prophet. And 700 years or so later, after Isaiah had communicated God's word, the word made flesh, came into the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, And he spoke words that were and are the words of eternal life to satisfy the soul always and forever. And there are so many wonderful words he speaks, but listen to this one. He who comes to me will never go hungry. Now that's not going to put Tesco and Marks and Spencers or Aldi or wherever you go shopping out of business. Spiritual food. Food for the soul. Beyond just the natural that's around us. Come to me and you'll never go hungry. Now as we read, many just wanted the miracle of the bread. And some people are like that, even within church. They just want some answers. They just want, you know, some physical things from the Lord. Make my life easier. That's kind of it. That's the prayer. If you can get me this and you can get me that and get me the other. And the prosperity gospel that's so prevalent. Just do this, this and this, and God will bless you with this, this, this and this. It's like a trade-off. You know, you put down what you've got. And God somehow has to. He has to give you something because of all that you've done for him. Now, that's not the gospel. That's some man-made distortion of the gospel. God blesses his people, of course. He does reward those who walk with him, of course. But it isn't like, you know, one for the other. You know, 50% here and equal shares. You cannot say that. That's not the way it works. But to know the Lord is to find that satisfaction. Some just wanted a full stomach amongst the 5,000. But Jesus was offering a full heart, a full life, full satisfaction. Again, as church and in our needy world, we have a responsibility to fill stomachs. We are to help the poor, but if that's all we do, we miss out completely on what should and could be done, filling hearts and lives with the things of Jesus. Jesus asked for the Father's blessing and he broke that paltry bread and fish, the boy's lunchbox, and he did it again. And again, and they kept coming back and taking out more and more and more to feed the 5,000. And I love the way that John uses words, just in case you miss it. He says it again and again. John was keen for his readers, that's you and me this morning, to understand everyone had, wait for it, as much as they wanted, all had enough to eat. And then when they come back later, he describes them as having had their fill. You do get the picture there, don't you? As much as they wanted, enough to eat, had their fill. John cannot describe it or cannot paint the picture clearer. This was not just a few crumbs. This was not just some saying, no, it's all right, I'll go without today. 5,000 people, you know, some like me who like to eat a lot, having as much and as much and as much as they wanted. Food for their stomachs. And with the Lord Jesus, food for the soul, we can have as much or as little as we would like. The question is, are you settling for crumbs or do you want more? More of him? Well, more of that in a moment. But the bread had been given to them and they sat and they waited. And at first, well, I don't know what they thought. When I think of all the miracles that Jesus performed, and I would like to have been at all of them, but I would have loved to have been at this one, because this was an ongoing, rolling miracle. It wasn't something that, what's happened? Somebody's been healed? Really? That person there? It wasn't just, it went on, and it went on. Across 5,000 and more people, having as much as they wanted. And then when these people catch up with Jesus, after all this has happened, what a day it was, Jesus speaks of the need for them to work. Oh dear, there's a bit of a dirty word. To work. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man, that's Jesus himself, will give you. It's given, the food. The Son of Man will give it to you. So what's the work? What do you have to do to earn this? Because normally that's how we work, don't we? You work to earn. And then with your earnings, you buy the food. But Jesus is saying, no, you can have the food. So I'm confused. What's the work? The work is to believe in the one he has sent. Believe in me, Jesus says. Oh, is that all? You can do that, can't you? Believe in Jesus? That's easy. Or is it? We live in a day where easy believism is rife. Just put your hand up and that's your response. Now, don't get me wrong, sometimes that's all it takes. People are really believing and trusting. But actually, when you believe, it changes your life, doesn't it? If you believe something, you know, it colours everything. It transforms every part of you. Your attitude. What you do, what you say. To believe in Jesus as your Lord and Saviour and King. God, that's deep. That's big. That's not just I signed a little, you know, a little card and ticked a box. Jesus is for me sticker. I'll wear it a few times. This transforms things. The work is to believe in the one he has sent. It was to be a little bit harder than they had hoped, especially in what Jesus went on to say in a few minutes further on in the conversation. Because they had received the bread given out to them, blessed and broken. But then Jesus went on to talk about how he was the bread, blessed, and would be broken. Now you and I know, and here it is behind us, you know, the breaking of bread. We remember his body broken through the symbol of the bread. And we sing about the bread of life, the word of God, break thou the bread of life to me. We have all these pictures and we put all the pieces together. But imagine hearing for the first time, I am the bread of life, said Jesus. And he talked about bread being broken, he talked about bread being eaten. And some of them were like, where are we going with this? Well, we might understand more 2,000 years later on, but the challenge is still the same when it comes to Jesus being the bread of life. To have food for the soul, they were to believe in who Jesus is. To see that he is so different, uniquely different from anyone else. The only way, as we heard a few weeks ago. There are actually 7 descriptions of the bread. 7 slices, if you like. Jesus describes himself. He talks about being eternal food that he gives to them. In other words, I'm sent from God to you. Now again, as Christians or in a church setting, sounds fine. But hearing that for the first time, what were these people to make of what Jesus was saying? He talks about being bread from heaven. Given by the Father, not by Moses, like Moses had done in the Old Testament, but given by the Father. He was that which knew no comparison. He talked about himself being the true bread. No cheap substitute, nothing to compare with him. He talked about that which had life-changing properties. The bread of God, he called himself. this bread that gives life. He called that himself the bread of life that satisfies and sustains. And then he went on to talk about being living bread. The bread of his flesh that would be broken. Because of course Jesus knew that the cross and Calvary was coming. He was preparing for this. They didn't know. They didn't understand. We've had more time to consider this, but think it through. Think about what Jesus is offering. Himself completely, sent from the Father to change and transform our lives through his sacrifice being broken for us. As I say, it's an interesting fact that it is a sevenfold description that John makes here. That's a symbol, isn't it, of the perfect one. Bread, the staple of life. What every man, woman, child needs on this planet, given in this way. Jesus has come from the Father to give us life by being broken for us. And only by taking for ourselves, taking him into our lives, and by that I mean his words and devouring all that he said and did for us, can we know life and can our souls truly be satisfied. The source of satisfaction is Jesus Christ and him alone. The search and the source. But this morning you may be saying, well, I'm a Christian, I believe. Sometimes I'm not the best Christian. Sometimes I struggle to believe in certain areas. But generally, I am trying to feed on his word. So I want to finish this morning by thinking about the signs of satisfaction. The evidences, the proofs. What are the signs of someone who is satisfied? Now, this is quite difficult because we live in a world where there's no satisfaction. People are still searching for it. But what about this satisfaction that Jesus offers? What difference does it make? And this is why I read to you from Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul, who satisfies your desires with good things, says verse 5. Yes, the Lord satisfies. But how does he satisfy? In what ways? With what? Well, I think the previous verses of that psalm are very helpful in understanding some of the ways, not all of them, because it would be impossible to say all of them, some of the ways which God satisfies the desires of our hearts. You see, back at the beginning of that psalm, we read that he is the one who forgives our sins. The benefit of forgiveness. Forget not all his benefits, and then, because he forgives our sins. The wonder of the gospel and the wonder of all that Jesus has done is that we are able to offer to people a new start. You and I are able to know that new start, to be able to start again. You hear people say in the world who don't know Jesus, well, is this it? Disillusioned by life, is this it? Just 70, 80 years and then no more? The futility of it all. Or perhaps if they make mistakes in their lives, and who doesn't make mistakes? A dissatisfaction at life, and all it's thrown up. And then I've messed it up, and that's it. How wonderful then in Christ that we can say, no, it's not it. There is forgiveness with God through Christ. Things can change. And we can read a wonderful verse like 2 Corinthians 5. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God. God's wonderful grace in that verse, that we can start anew, start again. Even the dying thief on the cross got the gift of paradise with his very last breaths of life. What a gospel, what a wonderful God we serve. Forgiveness and the benefit of forgiveness. You know, some people who cannot forgive and will not forgive end up very screwed up in life, very, you know. But to be forgiven and to forgive is a wonderful thing. It brings a contentment to the heart, a satisfaction. It's one of the good things that God does and wants to do for us. It also says one of the benefits is that he heals our diseases. Well, you've heard of somebody who died this week. You know, you've heard of somebody who's just about to do that. So it can't be life, perfect health, or whatever people try and offer you. These verses, though God is a healer, are speaking of a greater need for healing that we have. To be whole. To be who you are supposed to be. To be in a restored relationship with God who has made you. By his wounds you have been healed, says 1 Peter chapter 2, 24. And he's quoting Isaiah 53. And the previous part to that verse in Isaiah 53 says, "The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds you have been healed." It's talking about what Jesus went through at Calvary to connect, to reconcile us to the Father, to bring a healing in a relationship that was severed. We were enemies, Paul says, reconciled through Jesus' death. And by his life we're saved. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. From enemies to friends. A restored relationship. Again, you see it in small ways, in earthly matters, don't you? Where families don't speak for ages, but then perhaps there is a softening, there is a restoring to some degree. And again, there's a contentment, a satisfaction that, you know, we're family. And we're part of the same, you know. And there's that side of things. As benefits, who forgives our sins and heals our diseases, who redeems your life from the pits. Do you remember the story of Ruth and Boaz? Well, remember the story of Ruth first, whose first husband dies, and there she is with her mother-in-law, and she comes back amongst God, to God's people. She herself is from Moab. But the story goes how Boaz becomes her kinsman redeemer. How he pays the price for her, welcomes her, marries her, so that she belongs. That's the bottom line with redemption. You belong if you have been redeemed. And so we read in Ephesians 1, "In him, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace." We have redemption. We belong because of Christ's blood shed for us. The benefits. And there's one more. As I say, these are just scratching the surface, but there's so much more. But when you see that somebody belongs, when they know they're secure, there's a contentment, there's a satisfaction. You know, from a stray dog that suddenly has a home, a child that's adopted, not comparing the two, I'm just two examples. Whatever the circumstance or situation is, to belong. And the further benefit there in Psalm 103, he crowns you with love and compassion. the benefit of his love and compassion. To know that you are loved. To love and to be loved. Surely people say that outside of understanding the things of Christ. But to know that God loves you and that he gave his only son to save you. Oh, what a bond of love. What a bond of belonging. What a bond of the crown, the crowning of love and compassion. See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are, says John. Overwhelmed by the love that God has for him. And all these benefits and so many others are yours and mine as we believe in the one he has sent. They're all in Jesus. You don't have to climb mountains. You know, you don't have to jump hurdles. But you do have to believe. You have to take everything Jesus says to heart. Through Jesus, these benefits are known. Only he can satisfy in these ways. Well, our time is gone, and such is the nature of the service this morning. You've listened a long time to me, and you'll be glad to hear I'm saying the time is gone. But let me conclude by saying I'm not going to ask you this morning to complete a satisfaction survey. You'll be very glad for that, and so will I. But I will ask you this. Do you know the satisfaction Jesus wants you to know? Do you know forgiveness of sins? Do you know that healing of that broken relationship with God the Father through Christ? Do you know this morning that you belong to the family of God, more than that, to God himself? And do you know his love and his compassion? There's much uncertainty around, isn't there? Much fear, anxiety, and all the rest of it. And understandably so. But to know the Lord in the midst of all that is going on, and to know these benefits and blessings, oh, what a difference. Oh, what a difference. To find our satisfaction in him alone. As we come to the Lord's table in a few moments' time, and we'll allow, obviously, a little time if you're not staying for that, for people who have to go. But as we do, it's going to be a time to meet with the Lord, as always. That's what it's about, coming to his table. And there on the table is bread and wine, but particularly the bread this morning. As we take it, perhaps we can take it and think on these things. That he's the bread of life that sustains and satisfies. More of him. Lord, I want more of you in my life. So we'll drink the cup after eating the bread. And we'll just think about the benefits of all he's done for us. Satisfaction. The search. I trust you realize that this be seek and find with Jesus. The source is Jesus alone, and the signs, well, they're many, but they all come through relationship with him. So, any who want, have to leave us, Lord, I pray your blessing upon them as they go their separate ways now. Lord, I just ask that you would continue, Lord, to show us more of yourself in our daily lives until we meet again here in this place. Or, Lord, even you call us home, whatever it might be, more of you, we pray. For our lives. For those of us coming around the table now, we pray that you'd minister as only you can, Lord, through the bread and wine by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, Amen.